what it is.
This is
the Macho Man Randy Savage.
And this is
Hard Factor.
And there is no one that does it better.
Right now, yeah.
Nobody does it better.
I ain't repeating myself. Go ahead, tell me something right now.
Yeah, and I'm living in a nightmare.
And I'm not a racist. And I'm always cheering.
Oh, yeah.
Welcome to another episode of Hard Factor.
Yeah,
y'all. Brought to you by Barstool News Network.
Today is Monday, January 13th. Will is off today because he is down in New Orleans about to watch the LSU Tigers stomp the shit out of the Clemson Tigers.
He's the guy screaming with at least two hand grenades.
Probably. Oh, man.
Double fisted.
He's going to have no voice when he returns.
Here's the thing about Will.
Yeah, for sure.
You put Will on more than one day partying. We call it rollover minutes for Will. Voice is gone halfway through the second day.
And it's so much fun to watch.
It's great. It's really good.
You want to go on a vacation with Will.
He becomes
really kicks it up a notch.
He's just very hedonistic at that point. It's all pleasure. It's like, what can I eat, smoke, drink?
He starts pacing in front of you and just being hilarious. And it's like, it's just stand-up comedy.
You just don't want to be on that. You know, Will and I didn't talk for like a year and a half because he was doing that a lot.
Well, you know how some guys are like, this will resonate with some people, it won't with others, but some guys are what you call like strip club guys. Like you get them in a strip club, they're very comfortable. They kind of have this other alter ego and some guys aren't. Will's like that with vacations. He's a vacation guy.
Loves a vacation.
He like really switches it on for vacations, like really amps it up.
He's great at bachelor parties and vacations, wherever you want to go.
And based on the text chain of his traveling, which is the last update we've had is his traveling, I guarantee, and I'm putting money on this, I guarantee that Will come back with a story about...
It's never his fault.
Close to violence.
Yeah, but it won't be his fault.
Or
it's
violence.
It's never his fault. The almost arrest and losing luggage and losing the voice, it's not his fault.
Something either is going to happen. All right, anyway, let's get into the show. I'm going to talk about Iran today, a lot of updates on Iran. Then we're going to do a long lightning round with Mark and Wes talking about lots of fun stuff.
Oh, yeah.
But let's just get into it. So those wily Iranians have officially admitted that they shot down the Ukrainian commercial airliner that crashed last Wednesday, the same night of the attack on the Iraqi airbase.
Oops, that was the big story.
That was a big story.
That was it. They shot down the fucking plane.
I mean, come on. What else could it have been? But they're coming out and admitting that they did, in fact, do it. 176 people died in the crash. Fucking terrible. Yeah. It was 82 Iranians, 57 Canadians, 11 Ukrainians, 10 Swedes, 4 Afghans, 3 Germans, and 3 British nationals.
What were so many Canadians doing on the plane?
That I don't know. That's a good question.
That's a good question.
It's going to Tehran.
But why? Why are so many Canadians, that proportion of Canadians going from Iran to Ukraine, that doesn't make sense.
Well, let me say this.
Right?
Are they Canadians or are they just Canadian citizens?
Well, look, we grew up
either
with
their way.
They're Iranians
but
living
I mean, like,
in Canada.
Okay, but
that's
like
what I'm saying.
If you're on a U.S. flight and you're going from, I don't know, like say somewhere to Hawaii or somewhere like a flight in the U.S., even Canada to the U.S., would you expect like 57 people from Guam or 57 people from like somewhere like country very far away?
Yeah,
right?
It doesn't make,
here's
it
what
doesn't
I'm,
make any sense.
Here's what I'm telling you it is. I'm guessing. This is
I'm
a
sure
guess.
There's a very easy explanation.
Well,
that
we grew up with a bunch of Iranian Americans, right? And they go home to Iran quite a bit. And when in the 70s, when shit got bad in Iran, Iranians fled Iran and went to North America, not just America, but also Canada.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's a direct flight.
Yeah.
Maybe there's something like that.
I don't know. I mean, I'm sure it's just a Google search away. Maybe someone can DM us, but it just seems like that's way too many Canadians for that flight.
Anyway, guys, during an open session in Iran's parliament yesterday, which I do want to point out was a Sunday, maybe it couldn't hurt for Chick-fil-A to take a page out of Iran's playbook. During parliament, a man with a delicious last name, Hussein Salami, spelled the exact same way.
You're a big salami fan?
Yeah, I love salami.
Salami's one of the worst meats.
It's my favorite.
I love salami. I'm with you, Pat.
Anyway, he also happens to be the chief commander of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps, and he apologized, saying, quote, "We did make a mistake. Some of our compatriots were martyrized because of our mistake, but it was unintentional."
They got to stop using the word martyr.
Yeah.
It was Martyr Soleimani or whatever, like the name of the missile attack, and then the people they accidentally killed with the
it's
missile attack from Martyr Soleimani
part
were martyrs.
Of certain religions. Martyrdom.
They got to stop.
Well, this
with
is
that.
like the guy that gets accused of cheating, and he's like, I didn't cheat. And then I didn't fuck her. And then it's fine. Like, okay, finally, I made out with her at the bar.
Right.
Like, that's like.
It's kind of like that. It's kind of like a lot of things because.
Except they didn't. this is pretty extreme. This is okay. I had a really rough no-lubed anal sex with her because they shot a plane out of this guy.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah. It's not the same.
And her teeth weren't good. Right. So we're going to have to wait a couple weeks before we get an STD check. Check. Anyway.
Insult them.
Guys, one thing to be on the lookout for. In all my lifetime, he goes on to say, I haven't been as sorry as much as now. Never. I wish I'd been on board and burned with them. Mm. May God forgive us. Mm. And then after the Iranian people and the family of the victims forgive us and we for this incident, we were determined all the more to make it up.
So, it's good that they're owning up to it.
Yeah.
So that's the interesting thing. And we'll get into that with the continuation of the story. Iran is showing a lot of humanity, at least their leadership is, in owning up to what happened here.
You mentioned, like, what? This would never happen in North Korea,
No
right?
fucking way.
They wouldn't own up to it. They wouldn't say we're sorry if it was, like, North Korea.
Yeah.
Well, you're going to give them a lot of credit, but they fucking pretty much had to because they were hiding the evidence in, like, separate places. Like, it was obvious what had happened eventually when the research came out, and then they finally, finally we admit.
Credit due to owning up to it, not credit to actually shooting the missiles.
No, we'll get into what happened.
They had to own up to it.
But my point is, Wes,
they did shoot the missiles.
Yes. The narrative that we get fed here in this country about other countries that are our enemies from time to time is that they're evil motherfuckers.
Yes.
And that's what I'm saying. You wouldn't see this from North Korea. You are seeing this from the top brass of Iran out of their mouths saying we fucked up. And
it's
we wish
better
we were
than
done.
Them not saying we're sorry.
I know, but they were kind of caught.
Look, they shot fucking missiles at a plane.
I know.
They deserve to take some. They fucked up.
And let's get into what happened here.
It's fucked up.
I just don't want to give them too much credit for finally
admitting
it.
They didn't need to shoot the missiles at the fucking Iraqi base. They didn't need to shoot the fucking missiles. Yeah. And then they shot down a fucking plane.
Another government official blamed the crash on human error and, quote, U.S. adventurism. So a classic middle school defense when you get busted for fighting. You say, yeah, I hit Brad, but he said I had an unfit mother and I had to hit him. You know what I mean? Brigadier General Amir Ali Hazadeh said that said they requested all commercial flights be grounded, but armed forces and government and aviation authorities chose not to do so because, you know, they do what they want.
Yeah, this is a little more serious than airplane mode playing a game on your phone. They're like, we're going to be shooting missiles.
Hey, ground all the flights. Apparently, the aviation department of Iran decided to not do so. And the plane was misidentified as a cruise missile by air defense, defense operator. And the operator was unable to contact Central Air Defense Command to confirm it. And he had 10 seconds to choose between shooting it down or not, Hajizadeh said. And then he said, once they realized what happened, he thought, I wish I was dead.
Yeah, those giant cruise missiles that go up instead of down.
Well, I don't know, man. We're not fucking aviation operators.
I know,
we're not missile defense guys.
It's like that story, the riddle. It's like a man forgot to turn the light on in his house, and then he killed himself. Why did he do it? Because he was the lighthouse guy, and the boat crashed because he didn't turn the light on. He felt responsible, so he killed himself.
Wes and I were out doing other things, not reading riddle
you hear
books
that
growing up.
No, I honestly just kind of tuned out.
Yeah. All right, now that the Iranian people have confirmation. It was like one of those game books, Now that the Iranian people have confirmation that their government murdered 172 people who were looking forward to a nice peaceful trip to Tehran, they are not happy, as thousands of protesters have taken to the streets all across Iran calling for Supreme Leader Ayatollah Ali Khamenei to step down and for those responsible for the plane being blown up to also step down and be prosecuted. The Ayatollah has no term limit, and he's been in office for 30 years, so he's probably just saying, like, let's just lay low right now.
He's pretty old.
Wait for this whole uprising thing to
dick.
Cool out.
It's time for that. Am I allowed to say that?
Anyone who's in office for 30 years is a fucking dick.
I don't want to get fatwad or whatever.
Everyone's a fucking dick.
The Ayatollah is a dick.
Yeah. He's a dick.
He's a dick.
If you're in office for 30 years, there's something wrong.
Right. It's time to step down, bud.
Yeah, but he's not skeleton old yet. Like, he's
getting there.
So
what you're saying is he can still fuck, which is why he wants to remain the supreme leader.
Yeah.
Last night.
A lot more tails, Ayatollah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, bro. Especially in a sexually repressed country. We've seen the Kim Jong. Anyway, last night, Trump tweeted in Farsi offering support to the protesters. And at first I thought I was having an acid flashback, but it turned out to be real. So I'm having a lot of fun thinking right now about what right wing Twitter is going to do to deal with this mental pretzel of Trump tweeting in Farsi.
I mean, he got hacked.
Honey, there's something wrong with my Twitter, honey.
They hacked him.
What, these letters the president tweeted look off. Oh, my God.
They hacked me.
It's farcy.
Get out of the bed.
Yeah, no, they're not going to be happy. In other news over there, four members of Iraq's military were wounded also last night in a rocket attack targeting an Air Force base north of Baghdad that often hosts American troops. So similar situation to what happened last week. Some rockets, at least six of them, hit this base.
Those were fired by
No group has claimed responsibility yet. So hopefully we'll know in the coming days what it was. I would guess it's not the country of Iran directly, but it could be something.
It is a good time to frame Iran.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. It's a really good time.
Anything that happens over there.
Yeah. Smart. Didn't think about that.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take it to the internet, guys. Joanne DeMarco says, stop tweeting in Farsi. To which Kamala Summers says, he tweeted for the Iranian people, not your socialist agenda. Your head may explode now. And then Jack Sparrow says, nice. One interesting tweet beyond that, Chidi Nuatu says, and he tweeted this in Farsi as a little jab back at the prez, says, when will the Republicans start calling Trump the second Muslim president of the United States? Good point, my friend. They thought Obama was Muslim just because his name. This is going to be an interesting.
Honey, Obama hacked Trump's Twitter.
I think Obama's tweeting from Trump now.
Yeah, well, Mark and I were watching. Mark pulled up one of those Randy Quaid videos where he speaks into like a strobe light and like, you know, rainbows and crazily. And so he was claiming they might not have their internet back yet. So they might even be getting these messages on Twitter.
Iran has their internet back. There's been lots of videos coming out from Iran of people getting shot and fucked with on the
protesters. Yes. Well, yeah, they got it. I mean, the regime over there.
Yeah. Let's take
Ayatollah's a tough little.
Let's take the lightning round.
Yeah. All right, guys. The group 1 Million Moms, which has almost 4,700 followers on Twitter and describes their group as a network of Christian moms and grandmothers taking a stand by letting our voice be heard, is not happy with Burger King.
So it's really 4,700 moms.
Yes. Yeah. Something probably not even that.
One day, a million moms, hopefully, but probably not.
They speak for a million moms.
Okay.
Pat.
Excuse me.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
And they are finally making national headlines for their aggressive, or again, I guess, aggressive yet Christian tactics when they think a corporation, TV show, or personality has crossed the line.
Okay.
And as I was
that
writing this,
a lot.
Yeah. And as I was writing this,
They're busy.
Moms.
Yeah. Very, very busy. These fucking.
Not in the bedroom though.
Yeah.
Did you see this? Oh my God.
Right. They're always offended.
Yeah.
And as I was writing I watched Pat scarf down the cause of their new assault on Burger King, the Impossible Whopper, Burger King's new plant-based burger, which they have been promoting everywhere.
How was it, Pat?
Not that good.
Well, I didn't think so. Including commercials, of course, and in one commercial in particular that has these moms' granny panties crammed right up their ultra-religious vaginas and extremely tight asses, you see one takes a bite of the new burger, trying it for the first time, and after he takes the bite, he proclaims, "Damn, that's good." And that right there is making national news. The motherfucking D word, as the moms call it. Careful not to repeat the word. They fear will send them straight to hell.
Yeah, you would have thought he said, shove this up my ass and choke me.
Right.
Yeah. This is the household that if you sleep over and you say the word sucks, sleepover is over. That's one of, you're getting sent home for sucks.
Yeah.
If you're sleeping over at one of these moms' houses.
And you're not allowed over ever again.
Yeah.
Imagine
off-brand soda.
A child like recommending a PG-13 movie.
No fucking way, bro.
They watch The Simpsons over at the Stevens house.
Yeah.
So in a statement released by the group, the head nutjob says, quote, 1 million moms finds this highly inappropriate. When responding to the taste, he didn't have to curse. Or if, in fact, it was a real and unscripted interview in which the man was not an actor, then Burger King could have simply chosen to edit the profanity out of the commercial. Because everyone should speak exactly like they do.
Can you imagine
boring,
if
you said
God in front of it? God damn it. Can we start a billion moms site to troll them, a billion moms account?
Yeah.
It's one better.
Have two or three.
A million and one moms.
It's a little bit better.
Yeah.
I love that there's just 4,700 of them.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. So they also went on to say, quote, Burger King's Impossible Whopper ad is irresponsible and tasteless. It is extremely destructive and damaging to impressionable children viewing the commercial. We all know children repeat what they hear.
They said, show some class, Burger King.
Right. Like, it's fucking on. Burger King.
It's Burger King.
Let it go.
I mean, okay. So this group is just... Wait, So they're a subgroup of the American Family Association, which, as you probably guess, are an evangelical Christians. And some of their other campaigns, as they call them on their website, include ripping into anything that shines a positive light on the LGBT community, pestering JCPenney to remove Ellen DeGeneres as their spokesperson because she's a lesbian, and successfully they had Hallmark remove a Zola ad that featured a lesbian couple getting hitched, a move that which Hallmark now says was the wrong decision, but hasn't put the ad back up. So fuck you, 1 million moms. We would love to have you on the pod to discuss, though.
Yeah, I'm just going to ask them about gender-neutral bathrooms the whole time. You know that keeps them up at night.
Yeah, they don't like that.
No. I woke up with her. All right, guys.
On gender-neutral bathrooms, it's kind of funny. I was at Alamo the other day, and they had these new bathroom setups where it's like urinals to the left and stalls to the right. So everyone's entering the same entrance. And, like, you get out. I walked in there because there's women in there. I was like, oh, fuck, I'm in the wrong bathroom. And it, like, freaked me out for a second. Then you go out there, and, like, everyone's washing their hands at the same, like, it was interesting.
How'd your parts work? Yeah. Your parts work okay? Yeah. Mine were good.
And
enjoy the movie.
I want to add to that point. Great. Whatever.
Yeah.
I want to ship near people that identify as the same gender as me. I don't want to shit next to the other gender.
I don't want to shit next to anyone.
Yeah. No, I know. But if you got to shit next to someone, I'd rather it was either a person who was born a man or a woman who transitioned to being a man.
I want fat-bearded men.
Yeah, I want a man to come in after my shit, not a woman after my shit.
I'll even take gender neutral. I'll even take someone that doesn't identify as a man or a woman, but I don't want someone that identifies as a woman next to me.
I want someone that takes bigger shits than me.
I'm with you, Pat.
Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right.
Well, yeah.
Good discussion.
You have stinky shits, too. All right, guys. I have a Democratic debate preview for you. The next debate is tomorrow night, Tuesday, January 14th. And as always, we will be doing a live debate stream 30 minutes before the debate. Then we will go live again for every commercial break. And we will do a live wrap-up after the debate ends, because that's how we roll.
That's how we roll. Yes.
When we first started doing the live debate shows back in June, it was a bit of a struggle, as there were 20 candidates. The debates were multiple nights, and it was long and boring. But since then, we have discovered you can live gamble on the debates, and we will give you a free $20 to do so if you go to www.predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20 and create an account in a few minutes, and then deposit at least $20 using any credit or debit card or Bitcoin, I assume. I don't know. I use my debit card because it's 100% legal in every state in the U.S., so just pop that 16 digits in, give them the expiration date, the CVV, and you're off and flying with three free $20. That's www.predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20. No strings attached.
Yes.
All right, guys. So Steyer snuck into the debates.
Right.
We're locked in at 6 now.
Still don't know who this guy is.
Yeah.
Still confused.
He's rich.
Still don't know how he's rich.
Didn't you say he spent like $100 million in the past
$116 million on TV ads. Not in the past week,
and he was targeting the first couple states so that he could get in the polls. Basically,
well, so his ads and Bloomberg's ads, and he obviously became a candidate before Bloomberg did, but they started at Thanksgiving. Those are the only two guys that have been really running TV ads.
Yeah, and Bloomberg has taken himself out of all debates because he's not accepting donations. I think you needed like 250,000 unique donors.
Something like that.
And then you needed to be in four national or state polls at 5% or 2% at 7%. Mm-hmm. And Yang didn't make it. He didn't qualify. Steyer did. He snuck in on the very last day.
Man, this is such bullshit that Yang didn't
He got
qualify.
In on the last day.
It's so. Yang. It's a real problem. It's a fucking problem because Yang should be there. He should be in the conversation. He's often trending on Twitter. He's one of the most progressive candidates that are out there. And like, look, I'd rather hear from fucking him than, well, who else is in the debate? Who's qualified?
So it's Sanders, it's Biden, it's Klobuchar, it's Warren, it's Buttigieg, and now it's Steyer.
I think you put Yang right up there with Buttigieg or Klobuchar.
I'm kicking myself because I almost bought both Yang and Steyer to make the debate on January 9th. The last day was January 10th. And they were trading for like 8 cents yes, 92 cents no, because they weren't going to make it. And then Steyer fucking made it. I would have made like $500. I'm a fucking idiot. Yeah. But we can right now we know we can bet on these six people. We can bet on least speaking time and most speaking time. I'm thinking Steyer's a shoo-in. For least speaking time.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as of now, yeah. Right. Now that Yang's out, yeah.
That market's going to open up at, I don't know, we'll see, but it's going to be like, even if it's at 75 cents Steyer least speaking time, fucking take it.
Yes.
Because he's a 99 cent. He's going to get least speaking
This is
time.
Probably his last debate.
Yeah.
Probably his last debate.
Most speaking time, I'm going with Burnman, who I recommended last time,
mm-hmm.
and he did win last time, and he's leading all the polls. Get in on Bernie. He's going to be a nice, juicy, like 25 to 30 cents. burn yeah. most people.
By the way, Bernie has gone into I'm going to win the presidency mode on all interviews, social media. It's great.
He's winning all the early states. He's looking good. I have this allergies going on. Sorry if I sound awful. Anyways, that's it for that. We're going to give you we reached out to Predictor. We're trying to get some mention markets for the debates. Like, will billionaires be said? Will Iran be said? Will terrorists be said? Stuff like that. We'll see what we can get, and we'll let you know tomorrow on the show. Tuesday morning, so you can just start paying attention to that. But go to www.predictit.org/promo/hardfactor20. Deposit now so you're ready to play with us on debate night.
Yeah, and there was someone out there that sent me something about getting their 20 before the code wasn't working. Resend me that because I got lost in the fucking. If something happened with your deposit for some reason, send us a little DM.
If you signed up for Predictit, created an account, deposited at least $20, and you didn't get the free 20
with our code,
let us know.
And
with
guys,
our code.
You forgot to use the code.
To our tens of thousands of average listeners we have every day, Wes is calling you specifically out, whoever you are, in one of those.
They know who they are.
Instead of him going through his DMs and figured the fuck out.
That's exactly right.
We had 20 people reach out to us. I've sent 19 emails to Predict It, and Wes is doing this. Okay, your turn, Wes.
Thank you. All right, guys, got a fucked up one out of Kentucky. A woman, 38-year-old Melissa Wolk of Mount Vernon, is being charged with murder after she, quote, went redneck, her words to officers, and attacked a 55-year-old man and then encouraged her pit bull to finish the job.
Ah.
Whoa.
Yeah. So after a neighbor called police saying they heard the drunken and likely high on meth woman commanding the dog to attack, police arrived on the scene to find the woman on top of the man, punching him in the face as the dog mauled him. And when officers tried to intervene, she responded that she was, quote, going to beat their ass too. So the officer got in the back of a pickup truck, had the owner of the truck back it close enough to the bloody scene to tase the dog, which made the dog release the victim. But the dog circled back, and the officer had no choice but to shoot it.
Well, look, that was cute for a second there before he shot
Kill him.
Because they're a package. They love each other. I like that.
Jesus. I mean.
She had her dog killed.
This is my worst nightmare.
Well, but it gets kind of cute, though.
Is it?
The loyalty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like who were the killers? Bonnie and Clyde. They were bank robbers. Who were they? They're like, that's cute.
It's kind
of
cute.
A woman and her dog.
It's
admirable, is what you're saying.
It's quite a bond. Okay. I wish to have that bond with my dog one day.
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to think my dog would defend me. I'm not gonna.
It wouldn't.
I don't know. Yeah, I know it wouldn't. So I don't want to get into the cliche debate of breed or owner. Clearly, this time it was the owner. But God damn it!
Talk about the breed of the woman.
The breed of the woman was redneck.
Crazy.
Yeah. You guys want to get into this? It's the same old shit. These things are, in my opinion, these things are dangerous.
What do you think about pit bulls,
Wes? They're strong as hell. If you want to own one, maybe you should go through the same checks as you own a gun, because in the case...
That's bullshit.
This case proves...
That's fucking bullshit,
We're
going to
have a pit bull
that's
awareness
fucking bullshit,
day. We're
going to
have a pit bull awareness day for Wes. We're going
to
have any...
Get a gun. I'm so scared of these fucking things.
You mean you can buy it at a fucking convention?
Any pit bull owners that want to come by, we're going to set up an outdoor event.
Listen, I've met many lovely
Wes,
pit bulls.
Wes, meet all the pit bulls. If you'd like to scare him, that would be fun, too. We'll have it on video. Maybe, like, say, sick him, and then have the dog.
Yeah, let me know exactly
fears.
The time and place, and I'll be there.
There's two big fears, pit bulls and unsupervised teenagers.
Listen, I know that it's not the dog. It's the irresponsible owners, but you need to make sure that owners isn't going to be irresponsible, because shit like this can happen. They can get loose. They can attack kids. I mean, they're just strong. That's the problem.
They're a strong breed.
If a chihuahua that's a shitty chihuahua gets out, it's not doing the same damage as a fucking pit bull.
Pit bulls might make an appearance later in the show as well.
I will say, per our executive
Sorry
producer,
to be cliche, but Jesus Christ.
PFT commenter, who when we all moved down to Austin, his first job was selling used dogs, as he put it, and he would sometimes have pit bulls that were up for adoption. It was his job to supervise the potential interested adopted parties, and he was like, the scummiest of the scum motherfuckers would roll by and be like, y'all got any pits?
Mm-hmm.
Where the pits at?
Yeah. I mean,
it's a thing.
You guys are awful.
There's a reason that pit bulls, if you go on any fucking adoption website, it's a majority of pit bulls that need to be adopted. Why is that?
Look at the facts.
Two of my closest friends in college owned pit bulls, and I used to hang out with them all the time.
Yes, they're not all terrible if the owner is great.
All right. Anyways, you guys are familiar with the school mascot or team mascot being insensitive to Native Americans debate that's been going on forever, but has worked up to a fever pitch a few times in the past few years, right?
Not sure what you're talking about.
You're both Washington Redskins fans, for example, right?
Yeah, talk about the R words?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that thing's, you know, a thing. Well, a high school in a little town in Connecticut called Killingly found themselves smack dab in the middle of that exact debate, as their mascot up until July of last year was the Red Men. The Killingly High Red Men. And the mascot was a Native American with a full headdress with giant feathers.
Killingly High Red Men has a real ring to it.
It does.
Yeah.
It
sounds like a high kill count. I like it.
So in July, the school board elected to change the school's mascot, something they said was long overdue, and they changed the name to the Red Hawks.
Okay.
Creative.
So you can probably just like change the feathers
half
on the guy's
cost.
Head. Mm-hmm. That's one wing. Yeah, just like turn half the bird, cost. Make a beak or something. Yeah, it's close.
You only got to change one word.
That's right. Yeah. This change, like I said, with the imagery, you can make the feathers. Exactly. This change did not sit well with some people in the town,
though. A bunch of shittily painted hawks that were clearly.
I'm saying it could work.
Clearly headdresses that were repurposed.
I don't think they have a huge budget at this public high.
No.
Why does that hawk look so fucking weird?
Not in Killingly.
Not in Killingly. This change did not sit well with some people in Killingly. And in November, when the school board members, or at least some of them, I assume, were up for election and re-election, the town voted in a majority of conservatives. So they voted in some new conservatives onto the school board because they were not happy with a lot of things in the town, I think, one of them being the Red Men change. And that was one of the first actions of the new school board. What do you think they did?
They switched it back.
They did switch it back. They voted 5-4 this past week to bring back the Red Men. So the Red Hawks lasted half a school year.
Man, well,
that's hilarious. So good for them.
So like a year ago, they were talking about changing a bunch of names of schools in Austin that were named after, you know, somewhat culturally offensive people. Mm-hmm. And they were talking about like the cost to change the name of a school was like at least $100,000. Like it was an exorbitant amount of money.
$200,000 for Killingly, because they went one way then back the other. Last year, Maine, California, Massachusetts, and Oregon all banned the use of Native American mascots in its public schools and colleges. And apparently, you know, I'm sure there's two arguments here, two sides to the argument. The conservative school board is saying that as many Native Americans that are upset with the Red Men are upset that they changed it and are cool with the Red Men name. Mm. And then the Democrats are saying, no, the Native Americans and even our students are pissed. They think it's ridiculous.
We speak for all Native Americans.
Right. Yeah, so exactly. I haven't talked to any Native Americans in Connecticut or in the area, so I don't know.
You haven't?
But that's what happened. But don't worry, Skins fans. Because Dan Snyder, owner of the Washington Redskins, said he will never, ever change the team name.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, guys.
Will he make us start winning?
No.
No.
It's not on the agenda.
Dan Snyder's the owner. We're not going to win. All right, guys. Anyone who has been to the zoo or a petting farm has likely seen a tortoise. It's one of the easiest and laziest attractions you can maintain. They live forever, don't move a lot, and are not a flight risk. But one tortoise named Diego is doing his best to change society's perception of this lazy creature and at the same time save his own species from extinction. And he's doing that by humping the shit out of every female tortoise he can get his shell on top of.
Yeah.
For the island of Española, which is part of the Galapagos Islands.
Diego's a busy boy.
Diego, what's he been doing?
Very busy. So when biologists and conservationists realized that the giant tortoise population was in trouble on this island, they knew they had to call on Diego because, guys, Diego fucks. So they shipped his ass to San Diego to the zoo there. Where
he's
they
just always humping? Yeah. Humping the air?
He's on a huge aircraft carrier just humping all the way to San Diego.
Oh, yeah.
Which tortoise should we send?
Yeah. They're showing him pictures of female tortoises.
The one that's always rock hard.
Yeah. So they shipped his ass to San Diego Zoo where he was put in a breeding program and given the dream job of impregnating as many female tortoises as he could. According to one source, the population on the island of Española before Diego took action was only 2 males and 12 females. But now, thanks to Diego and his 100 years of fucking experience and knowing how to split some shell, the island is populated with over 2,000 tortoises.
Whoa.
And Diego's genes are in 40% of them.
So I love that, dude.
Just a bunch of handicapped inbred tortoises.
Yeah. What a sex hero.
Yeah.
What a boss.
So
slow and steady, baby. He's just pumping away.
Give me another one.
Have you ever heard a tortoise, the sound they make
when
they're
fucking? Who's next? He's like, who's next?
It's like,
This one's done. Good. Bring me another.
Yeah.
What's really impressive is his genes are in 40% of them, and 15 tortoises took part in the program. So nobody fucked like Diego.
Where is she going?
Yeah.
Where does she think she's going?
You can take her away.
Yeah. I don't think I did a good enough job on her.
Yeah.
And now this legend is on his way back to the islands, hopefully, to take his place.
No, I don't want to go back. I don't know.
Well, he's got more.
You better have a fucking homecoming.
Are they sending him to another island to fuck?
look. No, he's going back home.
Like a fucking king.
Yeah, yeah, to take his place as king, and hopefully one day they will erect a shrine in his name when he dies 800 years from now.
Yeah.
And we will do our best to get a t-shirt made of this legend, so hopefully that will be coming to you soon. Be on the lookout. We'll let you know. But this tortoise.
Ice down that guy's balls.
This tortoise is something else.
That's awesome. All right, this last one was sent in by at Kyle Cugini.
Oh, yeah, he's good. He sends it in.
And it may be the greatest story of all time. It's an incredible story, at least. Crystal Coombs is appearing on this season's Botched television show. You guys know what that is?
Yeah, we're like bad plastic surgery.
I love that show, yeah.
Yeah, it's like a cover, like an Ink Master cover-up type thing. It's the show where expert surgeon fix botched surgeries of previous surgeries from people that had horrible surgeries.
It makes
wrong.
Me distrust doctors.
And Crystal Coombs' botched job is she literally has pubic hair growing out of her face.
What?
Jesus.
Yeah. You see, when Coombs was 9, she was attacked by a pit bull, and the dog ripped off a piece of her face on her cheek.
Was she?
Yeah. So ER doctors back then suggested she see a plastic surgeon instead of getting, like, stitches or staples on the side of her face because she was missing a huge part of her face. She described it as looking like Freddy Krueger. But though the plastic surgeons must have been in a weird place in life because they had decided to take the skin from her groin and graft that onto her cheek. And immediately after the surgery, and for the rest of her life since age 9, Coombs has had pubes growing from her cheek, probably before on her vagina.
That's of all the
fucking
places.
Worst. Why don't they take it from her thigh or ass or her back?
Back.
Right.
Or back. Her arm.
Back.
Yeah. Now she has a weird looking pubic
ma'am?
Area too because they took away from it.
I don't know,
but her face has a lot of pubes on it.
Wow.
Yeah. So she's lived with this since 9. She finally decided to get this fixed instead of using her unique skill for profit. I don't
Here
know.
Comes
I'm sure there's guys in the pube faces.
Well, the circus would
right,
take her in
the
a
circus,
fucking heartbeat.
But also you can like sell like washcloths you wiped your face on to horny guys.
This is a porn that Will be like, there's somebody out there for it.
Exactly.
It's the most in-demand type of bearded lady.
That's what I'm saying. She could have done it for profit, but she wasn't embarrassed. That's not why she's changing it, but she just had a daughter recently, guys, and she says, I don't want my daughter to get made fun of or teased in school. Like, your mom's got a vagina face.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, no, I could see that one coming.
Yeah, she's absolutely right.
Your mom's face has pubic hair.
Mm-hmm. Wait, did she let the pubes grow?
She certainly did for Botch to let him see what's going on.
Oh, no, man.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, so that's gonna do it for Hard Factor.
Okay.
As I mentioned earlier, we have a live debate stream tomorrow night, which you can watch via Twitter link and maybe Facebook link, maybe Instagram link. We'll figure that out. But definitely Twitter. Check the Barstool News Network and Hard Factor socials. We usually send the link about 5 minutes before we go live. Pat moved into the new house, a.k.a. Hard Factor's 2020 temperature-controlled HQ today, and it's sexy as fuck.
It is nice.
So much content's going to be coming out of there. Will's watching the game tonight, as we mentioned. If you want to support him, root for the LSU Tigers.
Go Tigers! Baby,
check out the Around the Hill on the Tigers that's coming out today because we have a Clemson Tiger versus LSU Tiger debate, and then he should be back tomorrow night. But most importantly, have a great fucking day.
1, 2, 3, 4. Yeah.